Hello, and thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach, Rob Boyle. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on our website, weekendwarriorshockey.buzzsprout.com. Hello and welcome back to Weekend Warriors Hockey. We are here with episode 18. I'm Austin, and joining me currently is Rick. We're hoping Coach Rob's able to join us in a little bit. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Austin?
I am very good. Thank you for asking. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into today's show. We got a lot to cover today. We have an exciting guest for everyone listening. We're going to do our fifth player profile episode to help highlight another adult hockey player who has a great passion for the sport of ice hockey. So we'd like to welcome in today, Deb Glazer. Deb is an adult recreational player and coach in Northern New Jersey, New York City area. She is a Jersey girl through and through and is a lifelong fan of the New Jersey Devils, as well as a mom to three. She's been playing hockey for about 20 years and coaching for the last 15, and is currently the coach of the Brooklyn Blades women's ice hockey team. Through a teammate, she was introduced to Weekend Warriors in 2015 and is a repeat offender at the Morristown camp. Last year, she did both the Morristown and DC camps back-to-back and survived to tell the tale. So with that, Deb, anything we left out? Anything you want to add on?
No, I think you covered it.
I'm going to turn it over to Rick, and he kind of likes to get these started off by asking a couple questions.
I guess I always like to find out from people, like, you know, what influence Weekend Warriors had on their game, their playing, you know, their passion for the sport, anything that you can, you know, tell us about that.
I think Weekend Warriors came along for me at a time where I was sort of stalled and wasn't sure what the next step was. So it's kind of two different things. The first is that it brings you back to the fundamentals. It brings you back to the basic idea that skating, stick handling, all of that is essential to the sport. So there's the skill part of it too, but it also brings you to a place where you were with other people who feel like you do. They want to improve. They're your age, more or less. They're not kids. And it's a different kind of camp than, say, some of the other stuff I'd been to where it was kind of mixed in with some of the kids. I think Weekend Warriors has just a way of sort of reviving the passion for the sport because of that, because you get to talk to other people about hockey. It's a great experience.
I'm glad you had that experience. That's kind of part of the intent is to create that atmosphere that, you know, is exclusively adult hockey players that can just really enjoy the game and, you know, have a passion for it.
So Deb, quick question. Did you grow up playing hockey and therefore got some sort of practice and kind of an idea of how to play hockey growing up? Or did you come to it as an adult?
I came to it as an adult. It's a bit of a story, but the short version goes that I am getting married and I am turning 30 in the same year. And my mother calls me up and says, you know, we want to get you a nice present. Yes, you know, you're having a wedding and we're taking care of that, but we wanted to get you something for you. And so I said to my mom, well, I know what I want, but you're not going to want to pay for it. And my mother says, well, what do you want to, you know, what do you want? And I said, I want to learn how to play hockey. And there was a very long pause on the phone, at which point my mother said, I think you better talk to your father. And my dad gets on the phone and my dad says, your mother says you want to play hockey? Like you want to be a goalie? And I said, no, I'm not crazy. I just want to learn how to play hockey. And so bless my dad, who's really the kind of person when you want to try something or, you know, got a passion, he just jumps in with you. And he said, okay, you know, as long as you want to do this, you know, I'll pay for it. And that was 20 years ago.
Obviously, jumping in as an adult, you don't have the background, all the practices, you got to really jump in the deep end as you're trying an adult. So kind of that brings sort of to the next question was a couple episodes ago in episode 16, we had Weekend Warriors hockey coach Candace Moxley on. She talked about some topics, including challenges adult women face in playing ice hockey. So what would you say, even with the time you began and all the way to now, what are some of the challenges that you face? Maybe it's specific to the area you live, or maybe it's just specific to, you know, you as an individual that you face playing ice hockey as a woman.
I think that there is two challenges that face women today. And there's two different types of women playing. There are the type of women who now have started when they were young and have been playing their whole lives. But for my generation, that really wasn't usually an option. So the big challenge is to find a welcoming place, to find ice time, to find a team. It's you're kind of out there in the deep end without any guidance. And certainly 20 years ago, that was the case. There was at that point in New Jersey, a big youth hockey thing, but women's hockey is still kind of foreign. You have to dig it out. And I got lucky because I was living in New York at the time and I went to the Sky Rink at Chelsea Piers. And I met a few women and they introduced me to the team I'm currently with. But it can be a trick. Can you, you know, are you comfortable getting on the ice with, you know, co-ed? It's a challenge for women who are adult because you have families, you have work, you have, you know, I know that men have that too, but like the story I like to tell is I was on a co-ed team with a guy who his wife, you know, went into labor, gave birth, and 3 hours later, he's at a hockey game. Well, I'm sure she wasn't, you know. Yeah, that there's a change there. I also think it's not a stigma so much, but it's still an unusual thing to find adult women who play. And now my team is, we range from mid-20s to mid-70s. So we really are an adult team. And, you know, the women who play, especially the women who are myself or older, they had to really want it. You had to really choose to do this and work at it. Because it wasn't going to be like, oh, I could just run to the rink and hop into a clinic. You have to find one that's age appropriate. You have to find one that might be welcoming to women. That's not always the case.
Really similar to what Coach Moxley brought up. And what I've seen in my own experience, we have, you know, women at our rink. They don't have their own league for women player. There just aren't enough of them. But the one thing they are is dedicated. But it is definitely sounds like a challenge. And we hope to continue to grow and get more women in. And I think Weekend Warriors does provide that opportunity. You know, anybody who's listened to this, it is open, and Rick will, you know, shout this from the mountaintop. It's open to every level of player. It doesn't matter where you are. So, all right. Well, that is a great perspective, Deb. And we've now got Coach Rob joining us. Perhaps he'll stick around for a few minutes. Coach Rob, you there?
That sounded great, Deb.
Hey, Deb, I just wanted to let you know that I had a hockey game the day my second daughter was born and I missed the game. Okay. I did not go to the game. So
I'll let you know. Good for you. I will tell you this. When I was in labor with my third child, I was on the phone with the doctor's office saying, I need an appointment 6 weeks from today. And the doctor said, why so specific? And I said, because I've got a hockey game that week.
Nice.
And I had to clear
priorities,
to play.
Priorities, right?
Exactly. I knew it was, but it's tough. You know, that's a difference that you have.
What I'd like to know now is maybe to get a little bit into the Brooklyn Blades and what that is and, you know, a little bit about that.
So the Brooklyn Blades is a women's rec team. We would be considered to be D-level nationally. We are an amazing group of women from all over, Americans and Canadians, and generally around the New York City area. The team started in Brooklyn by a guy who just saw the need that there was youth hockey and men's hockey, but there wasn't a women's team. And honestly, I have heard about those early days. I wasn't on the team at the time, but they were kind of, you know, crazy, like women would show up in bike helmets and football pads, and you know, some could skate and some couldn't. One of my early teammates was a figure skater from when she was young. She was like a junior national figure skater. And she would just tell stories about how, you know, just half the battle was getting your equipment on.
Yeah.
This guy actually wrote a book. You can't find it. It's out of print. I own one. And it literally, there's a whole chapter on there that tell women how to put on their equipment because it's just, you know, we don't have necessarily dads showing us how to do it or, you know, teammates. But I found them early in my hockey path, which I think really influenced me. They are incredibly supportive. I've been with some of these women 20 years. So that sort of changes when your team can stay together. The core of the team has at least been there together 10 years. we constantly do get new people. Yeah, I think it's different than like a beer league team where maybe you're kind of coming and going. And I've been coaching the team for, I'd say the last 12, 13 years, depending, you know, on trying to figure the age of my middle one. But that too, like that sort of changed my path. I started coaching youth and then the team said, hey, could you, you know, work with us as well? And it's different. We always had male coaches. I coach differently, partly because I'm in the locker room with them, but they have been with me through all three kids. I have seen them through, you know, multiple parts of their life. It's a totally, you know, these people, they're like my family.
So are you a player coach? You do both? You both coach and play?
I do both coach and play. That has been a trick that I have worked on for a while. It's not easy. I have taken time off just to coach, depending on like, you know, I had a kid or, you know, an injury, or sometimes it's just too many, you know, people on the bench. And it is easier, I feel like, if you have a bench coach who's back there, just focused on that. But I do love playing with them and they seem to want me out there. Whatever.
So do you all have like a weekly, like a season where you do like weekly games, or is it mostly tournament based, or is it both?
We are actually have a full season. We start generally the third week of September. We go till mid March, and we actually got our whole season in this year. We were fortunate. Our last game happened just before things closed down.
Right.
We do a tournament in June. That's a local tournament, something specific to my team. Some of the other local teams, they're generally moms or they have time, you know, they can travel. New York is an interesting team because everybody works, you know, everybody on my team has a full-time job. We're not the kind of team that does like a lot of spring tournaments. They just can't take the time off, but they are very dedicated. So we show up, usually our slots are on Sunday evenings, and I put practices sort of interspersed between games. We used to have a separate slot that doesn't really work for this group. So we might have 8 to 10 practices a year and 20 games.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. And you do tournaments as well, you said, correct?
We do a tournament in June. It's a local charity tournament. Okay. It's like a playoff because it's all the teams we play all year.
So in your league, how many women's teams do you have?
We're not actually a league.
Okay.
There are two leagues on the East Coast in this area. We're not up at the level to be in those leagues, but we have a loose base of about 8 teams in New York, New Jersey. There are some teams in the Connecticut area. And, you know, there are teams in Pennsylvania. We don't actually travel that far, but there's sort of this loose organization of people like myself. We reach out at the beginning of the year to the closest 8 teams. We say, hey, what's your ice slot? And we trade. So they come to us and we go to them. And that's how we cover the ice payments.
Wow. So you actually have to travel around to different rinks for different games, correct?
Okay. Yes. Yep. It's like a youth travel team with the kids.
That does take a lot of commitment. And oh, by the way, you're in a massive metropolitan area where I can only imagine traffic. So like Atlanta. I mean, I've heard some of the Atlanta leagues, they have to travel around a lot too. And I can only imagine traveling in that traffic. So that's awesome. And it's exciting.
It's a challenge. I have teammates who come from Brooklyn and Queens, and for them to come out to New Jersey they might as well drive to Boston. You know, it's the same 4 hours.
Wow. That's dedication. So what does keep you motivated to keep doing it?
I just love it. I can't, you know, I fell in love with the game when I first saw it when I was 12 years old, when the Devils came to New Jersey, and it was love at first sight. And I am motivated to keep playing for myself and also for my teammates. But every time I think that, you know, like, oh, maybe I need a break, something happens, you have a force break. And then you're just raring to get back into it. There's just nothing like it.
That's really incredible process program that you got going on, and to have that level of commitment for someone coming to the sport late in life, actually playing it as you did. Obviously, you said you fell in love with hockey when the Devils moved to town when you were younger. But it's a really cool story. So do you have since you do practices, obviously you get some time to go out on the ice and work on stuff. Do you have a process that you and your players work on? Do you have drills, and do you steal stuff from Rick and Rob? How do you do that?
Oh, I totally steal stuff from Rob. There's no question.
I don't steal anything from Rick. What are you talking about?
I was going to say, I don't know that Rick has a lot. Honestly, I don't know if they know I do this, but Well, you know, I don't know if you guys know I do this, but the minute we step off the ice after an ice session, I start talking into my phone. And what I'm doing is I'm repeating the drills that we did. I tell myself what you guys worked us through. And then I go back and I do steal absolutely everything that makes sense for my team. I feel like we can worry. It's constantly changing up. That's one of the things I like about it is there's some stuff. Yeah, the skating is always there, but the drills do change up and they have sort of started to model after what I think of when I've coached youth hockey is the newer model of small area games and, you know, breaking it down into groups of levels. We do that too. I absolutely do that. I plan practices. I mean, I probably put more time into it than my family would think is necessary. But I do. I mean, I walk in, I've got a plan. I have coached up through 12U. So I've coached youth hockey. So I've, you know, I actually use a lot of the same plans from my 10U team that I use on the adult women. There's really not that much difference.
Right. In
teaching the two groups, the women might have a slightly longer concentration level. And I say slightly because these guys have met some of my teammates. And, you know, you sit them down and you say, just like I do with the kids, I say, you know, here's our plan for today. Here's what we're working on. And then the other difference too, is the women will come to me and they say, hey, can we do this today? Or, you know, I'm feeling like I'm missing this or that. And I'm very fortunate too, that I'm not a great skater because started late and the men will agree with me on that, but I have teammates who are, so I have the advantage of being able to grab a teammate who, you know, skated her whole life and say, watch her execute this, or, you know, so that we really are a cooperative group that way. Is while I might be the coach, it's not my team, it's our team.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, Deb, I don't know. I don't, maybe you don't have my address, but I haven't received any royalty checks. How about you, Rob?
I was just going to say that I was going to start charging per drill.
Oh, God, no.
No, but in all honesty, that is the right thing to do. I mean, I've learned from so many coaches myself. I see something I like, I'll write it down. I've asked other coaches and just within our Weekend Warriors coaching staff, you know, we've kind of gone back and forth, you know, after the season's done, we're coaching with our own teams and we'll contact each other for a drill or for some advice and so on and so forth. I mean, you have to draw on those experiences to or other people's experience to make yourself a better coach. So by all means, take whatever you need.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Rob always asks at the beginning, he always has everybody in Weekend Warriors raise their hand if they have regular practices. And it's usually just me.
I think we had three in California this past weekend. So that was an anomaly too.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's one thing that, and it's not just our team, but most of the women's teams in the areas do have a coach. And they do set aside time to practice. I think that's the difference between some of the women's teams and some of just the typical beer league, that we have that advantage. We have practice ice. We do that on purpose. We make the dedication, dedicated effort to that.
Yeah. You've taken the notion that Rick likes to say on here is taking responsibility for your improvement. And I think to me, that's what Weekend Warriors camps did for me. They gave me, not only did I kind of learn the basics, because I'm like you, I was in my 20s, never skated before really. And I had a lot of bad habits after many years of playing. And then I found Weekend Warriors in my 40s and I'm having to reprogram everything about me. But it gave me the motivation because it taught me the things I needed to know. And I do the same thing you do, except I do it by myself or maybe with a couple people at Stick and Puck. I'm like, hey, here's this drill. Let's run it. It's exactly what the guys at the academy teach. So that's awesome. And I think that's what it's about. And I think that's why, you know, we like this venue to have these discussions, because you hear people talk about it and you realize that, other people are like me too. They do enjoy doing this. So, all right. So I have one last question and then I'll turn it over to Rick and Rob and you, Deb, to bring anything up you like. So what's the last piece of hockey equipment you either bought or received that you're using?
So every year my team very kindly gets me a gift certificate that I'm not allowed to use on groceries. And I bought myself. I had sticks that I bought 20 years ago. They're old Easton composite sticks that don't bend. It doesn't matter how big you are. There's no
bubble.
Yeah. And I remember a couple of years ago, one of the young guys at the camp was looking at it and he goes, wow, that's retro. And I was like, yeah, that's not what I'm going for. So I finally went bought. I bought a decent stick.
What'd you get?
I got I don't even remember. I got a Warrior. Okay. I think that what I really got was appropriate flex. Right. I'm a big proponent of paying attention to the equipment, and I hadn't been. And so I can actually bend my stick now, which is kind of nice.
So let me ask, because we did a whole episode on sticks. Did you get an intermediate stick, an adult stick? Do you remember?
I know. I don't know exactly that. I do know. I got an intermediate stick. I am not a big person, and I think most women cannot flex an adult senior stick, although most of them are skating with an adult senior stick. Right. And it's something that I remember even last year telling one of the women on the ice that she had her stick like 3 inches, you know, that was like in her forehead. And I was like, dude, that's just too big for you. You gotta cut that down. That's something that women, again, we don't have someone to say, hey, that's not the right piece of equipment. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you're talking to people about it, because that's important. You know, it's nothing like buying a $150 stick and realizing it's too heavy a flex, or it's way too long, or crap, way too short. Now you got to put an end in it. So anyway, all right. Yeah, thanks for that. So a nice new stick may last you many years. And so with that, Rob, anything you wanted to ask Deb or anything you wanted to talk about?
How you doing, Deb?
I'm doing okay.
No, you know, I don't have anything specific. I don't know if you covered it or not, but like, what have you been doing yourself personally to improve your skills? Is it stick and puck? Is it just practices? Being a coach, I would think that you have taken some of the stuff that you've learned over the years, and you have been a regular to camp, and you probably hear our voices in your ear from time to time, which is a good thing, I think. And so what have you been doing? How do you keep up with your skill development?
Well, I do have the advantage of practice ice. So I take my teammates, who are my little guinea pigs, and I say, this is what I want to work on this week. So this is what we're all working on. I have that advantage. I did learn, you know, one thing Weekend Warriors does now that they didn't in the beginning is the off ice. And so that's something that, you know, it's a little hard. Again, anyone living in the New York area, if you live in a small apartment, it's not easy to necessarily go out, and you can't go shoot, you know, pucks against your garage. But to do the kind of exercises we do at Weekend Warriors with the ball and just like on a chair or whatever, that I can do that in my driveway, you know, now is obviously more challenging. But in general, other than doing Weekend Warriors, I will take myself in the summers. I skate in a women's league that is mixed level, which really pushes me because I am at the lower end of that level. These are girls and women who've been playing since they were kids. So there's that too. It's a little hard to practice your skill, but we usually get like 15 minutes at the beginning. And I do what you guys say. You take that 15 minutes and I take a corner and I just, you know, work on my edges or whatever. Just trying to get better every time you're out there.
You make my heart warm. And what is one thing that you're still constantly working on? Like, what would be a weakness that you say, you know, I still got to get there. I'm not happy where I am with this particular skill.
I know exactly. It's always going to be doing the crossovers. I will never feel comfortable on my outside edge. And maybe that's just because I didn't learn to skate till I was old enough to know that this was probably a bad idea. It will be, I will look for that outside edge till the day I'm done. You know,
Austin's nodding his head. Austin's like, yep.
So, I mean, I can do crossovers, but those drills they teach for outside edges, I still can't figure them out.
I mean, you know, it's usually Andy who ends up on my corner because I'm always in that one corner in Morristown. And he will tell you that I have been trying and trying, and it's there somewhere, you know, and someday it may magically show up, but I'm going to wait for it for a while.
Yeah, when you find it, send me an email.
You're not alone. Right.
That's the worst.
So quick question, kind of a follow-up. So if you play in the summer with folks that are of different skill levels, especially higher, do you find that is helpful to you getting better? Is it frustrating? Is it all of the above?
The funny thing is that with this group, it's not frustrating. I think that when I played co-ed and that was frustrating, partly because there's a size difference. I'm only about 5'2". So there's that. These women are very supportive. They, you know, they played, I mean, these women may have played U19. So some of them, they play fast, but they want you in there. They want you to be involved. So they do pass you the puck. They talk to you on the bench. They encourage you. So I actually find that that challenge has been good for me. And I feel like if you can do that and you can get a group together that you feel like that they're around you, then you actually improve, because they do make sure that you have the puck, and, you know, they might carry the puck, but then you're standing in the right place to take the shot. They'll make sure it gets to your stick. You know, that there's something nice about having that kind of level that, that I don't have when I normally play.
Okay. Rick, anything you wanted to ask Deb?
You know, so I think one thing is our experience with camp is that women are better listeners and than the men are, in terms of, you know, I mean, you can ask Rob, Rob's already smiling, but you know,
that's a hockey camp, that's in life.
so obviously you're doing the coaching the women, but I would imagine that there's a certain amount of, you know, pleasure that, you know, they're listening, they're attentive. And I don't know if it's because they, you know, maybe appreciate the coaching more because they don't have it, or there's just a woman thing where they just pay better attention. But we do find at camp that the women pay more attention and listen and do the things that we, you know, more. We, of course, of the guys, there's some that do, but you have a much higher percentage that, you know, don't pay as good attention.
You know, honestly, there's always the one or two exceptions. You know, I mean, you guys know that there's always that one girl who's not listening either. But I think that the women feel like they're investing their time, and you have to kind of put yourself out there a bit as a woman in hockey. Yeah. You have to sort of say, I'm making time for this. And so you were there for a reason, and you want to make it happen. You know, again, I do look at it the way I look at the youth hockey is the people who want to be there, they're really paying attention, whether they're listening or not. You know, it's kind of hard. Everybody listens differently. But if they want to be there, they'll put the time in. So I do think that the women in general listen to me more than my kids do. And I don't just mean, I mean like the youth, but also like my kids. But there is definitely an advantage to having a group of people actually hearing your words and attempting to make it work out. So that's a good part of it. And I don't know, Weekend Warriors is funny because like, there are less women usually out there. Not always, but that DC camp was pretty even last year. But we also kind of bond in the locker room. We have that sort of advantage too, is we're not split up into two teams. All the women are together in Morristown, and we kind of encourage each other, and we sort of make sure like the other people are coming along. So if you have somebody who's a new player, and like last year there was a woman who'd only skated a short while, and she really was, this was a big deal for her. But she had other people like us in the locker room to sort of encourage her. That's a big part of women in sports that I think is why it's important. Like, I think I'm a really big proponent of young girls playing sports, team sports.
Yeah.
Because I think there's such an advantage to having a team around you, supporting you. It sort of changes your life.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, in general, it's one of the things I like about Weekend Warriors is the support among the players for each other and the understanding that, you know, even if I've been playing for 20 years, I remember when I started. And so you're sympathetic for those people that are at that early stage, and it creates an environment where people feel comfortable. And it sounds like you have that, and you get a lot of passion out of, you know, them getting better and learning. And that's, you know, I share that. So.
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of Weekend Warriors. It is a very encouraging group to be around.
So Deb, we're going to kind of close out here on this part, at least, of the episode. And it's great discussion, and you've able to not only hit the things that we were wanted to talk about, but also some tangents, which is great. So anything that you wanted to bring up, that maybe either questions you want to ask Rick or Rob, or that you just want to make people aware of?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think you guys hit the stuff that I would have talked about that just makes the camp so special. I will say each camp's a little different. It was interesting to go to a different location last year. Each camp has sort of a different vibe, or maybe it's just that Morristown, that we've all just been there too long. We're kind of a special group. But I have to say that there is an advantage to going back each year. I don't know. I've got that asked that question by teammates, like, why do you do it again? And it's like every year you just learn a little bit more about how you're doing something. And even the skating drills, which don't change so much from year to year, each year I notice minute improvements when I see those videos of my skating. I can see the changes. And it's not just the year-round skating. It is with the specifics of what they do there. It is the breaking down. So that to me is a big part of it. And I want to thank you guys because it's changed how I play. And it's also changed how I coach. I mean, Rob knows we've had talks about it. I really do appreciate seeing other adults coach adults. That's a special group of people who do that. So thank you guys.
So let me throw something out there. You brought up another tangent. So the other day, probably 2 weeks ago, I was out at Stick and Puck, and this young man, he's a college hockey player, Division III up in Rhode Island. He came out and he was doing Stick and Puck. So we're all just skating around. And the very first thing he worked on was the first night drills that we do at Weekend Warriors Hockey Academy. So here's a guy who's 6'3", 230 pounds, skates like the wind, very good player. Obviously he's a you know, college hockey player, and he's out there doing exactly what we do on Thursday nights. It never stops. Getting good at those drills and continue to work on your inside edge, your outside edges, your C cuts, your forward, your backwards, all that stuff. He did that. And again, cemented in my brain that you never stop learning these things and you never get perfect at them. You got to keep trying them. So that's, I think, goes to your point that every time you go to Weekend Warriors Hockey Academy, you might do similar things, but you're going to get better at doing it, or it's going to challenge you in a different way. So I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah. Hockey is just a fundamental sport. It comes down to skating. If you can't get that right, you're kind of doomed from the start. And you, even we see all the videos of the pros doing the same drills that we do.
Absolutely. You know,
got to keep working at it.
So it's not wasted, no matter how many times you do it. It's not wasted.
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Thanks, Deb. Appreciate the perspective. And now what I want to do is, Rick, over to you. Do you want to talk about the camp you guys had in Anaheim and then maybe what's ahead for the rest of the summer?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I'd just like to, I have a bit of sad news. We had a coach of ours that worked our Shelton camp. His name was Eddie Lemaire. And I just found out yesterday he passed away. He was only 53 years old. And Eddie was just a great guy. He was a local in the Shelton area, coached the St. Joe's high school hockey team. He came to he coached our crew every year in Shelton. And I was talking to the rink manager yesterday and mentioned something about Eddie. And she said he passed away 2 weeks ago of a heart attack. So just our condolences out to Eddie's family and the hockey community in that area, because they lost a great guy. He was a great, great coach, loved the game, always had a smile on his face, came to the rink, just had a passion for the game. And I know that the players that, you know, his high school team loved him. And so just want to send that out there. On a much more positive note, Rob and I just recently got back from Southern California. We called it our Anaheim camp, and actually it was at the Lakewood rink, which was about a half an hour away, and it caused some confusion for some of the people. So I've got to get better at, it's a Southern California camp. Like, we're going to have to work with the name of that, depending on what rink it's at. But anyway, we were very pleased. It was definitely a different camp. But we were very pleased that we were able to pull the camp off, in a safe, you know, COVID safe manner with social distancing and masks and all that stuff. They did not have to wear masks on the ice, but in the building, we did a lot of stuff outside, and we can talk about that more. I know you want to talk about that in another episode. But I just wanted to put it out there that, we did the camp. I got a lot of positive, feedback from the players. And we're just—it just feels so good. I have been emailing people all year, right? I'm a professional emailer now, and it was just really fun to get out on the ice and be doing a camp in front of doing what we do, right? The fun part. The fun part is not being home sending emails out to people. It's being out on the ice and seeing their smiling faces as they're working on drills and getting better and having fun.
Really, really great news. And I'm glad that you guys were able to get that camp in. So what's in store for the next few weeks?
We have a few camps that aren't going to happen. So we've taken St. Louis, Morristown, New Jersey, and Toronto off the schedule. Just challenges involved with, you know, reduced numbers. I mean, in Toronto, it's just a matter of the border still closed. But then we have the rest of our schedule starting in Washington, D.C. It's in Laurel, Maryland, actually. And so we have that camp at the end of August. And then we go to Shelton, Connecticut, which is a rescheduled camp. Lake Tahoe, which is a rescheduled camp. And then Austin, Texas, and then Vail, Colorado. And all five of those are looking pretty good at this point in terms of, you know, being able to pull them off. So.
Excellent. That's very good news. And hopefully the schedule can stay and all those camps happen this summer. So, all right. Well, I think that wraps it up for us. Thank you, Deb, for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey. We appreciate you being here. And good luck to you as you move forward. And hopefully the fall season for you, winter season, goes very well. And you guys are able to have a successful season with the Brooklyn Blades. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We appreciate you joining us for this episode. And we'll talk again soon.
We hope you enjoyed our episode and are motivated to learn more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Simply email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram sites if that's easier. We love to read responses and listener questions on the air. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. Share us with a friend or two or three and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.